You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Joe Zamataro and Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. And today, we have not one, not two, but three wins in a row we get to talk about today. I feel like it's the first time in a long time that we get to check that out. And we'll have all that and more right here for you on this episode. So don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on these episodes and ones coming at you in the future. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
It's been a minute since we've had a full week of winning. Feeling pretty good. I like where things are at. I'm pretty happy. And how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing terrific. Oh, how the mood has shifted on this show. For the first time in what seems like forever, I got to witness a win at Amalie Arena. I think it was close to coming to a calendar year. I actually got to see two of them. So that was really fun. I had a great week. I think we're all kind of on the same rhythm here, kind of all riding cloud nine.
So I met up with Matt for a moment during that Lightning game. We both attended it. I didn't tell you before. I ended up, I took a scooter to scoot on home, and the thing didn't work. And I basically pushed it for two blocks before I could find another one. Just gave up completely on that one. It was not the best experience.
Hey, at least you were happy leaving, though.
That's true. I was doing it with a skip in my step.
Yeah, I mean, you could have been coming off a loss, and then it could have started raining, and lot worse, Joe.
That'd have been really sad.
We have put it in perspective, Matt. Apparently, I missed the memo today about the Gasparilla hats. I see you guys picked up some new merch from the Lightning store, which is looking great. And we got news. Well, we got a teaser that the Lightning seem like they are coming out with Gasparilla jerseys. We thought we were going to get them at the initial release. It was just merch. But their new teaser is making it look like we are getting new jerseys, which, again, begs the question, are they just selling these jerseys, or could these maybe be third jerseys for the Lightning since they can't wear them in warmups? Now, I will say they've had three different versions of these jerseys. They had a black one and a white one, both with a kind of a gold accent around the logo. It looks like this year it's going to be a white jersey with just a debate, kind of like the logo you see on the guys' hats right here, which is the black outline is what it looks like it could be. But that's just from the teaser.
The social media went nuts when they didn't show jerseys initially. So if it wasn't something that they had planned, they should have teased it earlier, I think, because, man, people want their jerseys.
Especially considering the reactions of the first two generations of the warm-up jerseys, the auction jerseys. Why not? Why not give the people what they want? They've been begging for these jerseys. Make these thirds. Again, you will please everybody if you do this. So we've been wrong about this more often than we've been right, but I'm really hoping that this go around. I'm not certain yet, but I'm hoping this go around, this new teaser that dropped today. I'm fairly certain, but I'm not going to set the expectation too high.
Yeah, that's fair, because we've predicted a couple of times, but it hasn't gone the way we've hoped. But nevertheless, we are getting something new in a couple of days here, so some exciting things to look forward to. But let's talk about the Lightning's week this week, because they played extremely well, obviously picking up three wins. Guys, we talked about last week that, the Lightning, they had a good process. They were not getting the outcome that they wanted. This week, they finally got those results. They were getting that outcome that they were looking for. Starting off with their game against the Los Angeles Kings, you know, this one, playing a team where the Kings, very good defensive team, and they know how to hold teams to scoring less goals, which doesn't usually bode well for the Lightning because that's their whole MO is the offense. With the Lightning, they come through in this one. They trailed early in the game, but they climbed their way back in a third period rally, and the Lightning win this one 3-2 in overtime thanks to a goal from none other than Nick Burbick to get the game winner and get the Lightning a huge 2 points. Joe, your thoughts on this game against the Kings?
Well, we've seen offensive upside for Burbick's, you know, all through last year. And this year, it almost felt like he took a little bit of a regression. But the past couple of weeks, he seems to have gotten his swagger back. And nothing showcases it more than the type of goal that he scored, where he ended up beating in the 3-on-3 the defending player in a 1-on-1 move, and then beat the goalie to score on his own right up close. And you need to be able to skate, you need to be able to puck handle, you need to be able to shoot to pull something like that off. So it's good to see him firing on all cylinders like that. Hagel, this was a game I think that the Lightning showed a lot of heart at times. I got a ton of notes from things that happened in this game that were all over the place. But one of them was ABB broke his stick during play. And as he was going to the bench, he still had the wherewithal, his IQ on the ice to see that the puck was coming up to the blue line where he was as the second period. So his bench was at the opposing blue line. He used his skate to knock the puck back down low. And it allowed the play to be extended, which put two really dangerous shots on net for the Lightning. But moreover, it made sure that possession wasn't going the other way.
This game had all the makings of the three games we covered last week, where you're the better team, you're playing better, you're playing, you know, pretty much all the game in the other team's zone, and you lose in regulation. And it was looking like that for a long time, for pretty much, you know, the first two periods. Again, like, why aren't these going in? We had a goal called back. A little questionable about that. I don't know your guys' thoughts about that one that got called back.
Let's talk about that in a moment.
But again, you know, I think we're all extremely happy with the result. And, you know, even going into overtime, I wasn't feeling a whole lot better. Again, you know, this just has the makings of those kind of games, especially with our overtime record earlier this year too. I was not at all comfortable with where we were at, but man, again, like I think you said it best, Joe, heart, you know, passion in this game. And good on you for seeing that ABB play. I remember seeing that and I completely forgot about that. So that is definitely a key point right there. I don't think it turned into a goal or anything like that. No, definitely not. It was early in the game, but that was just such a high IQ play right there. So good on you for pointing that out. But let's talk about that goal. I was in the arena. You know how they are about showing replays in the arena. If it's anything like that, you're going to have to be begging for a kind of replay or an explanation of some sort. I couldn't really tell. I was, you know, pretty high up in the nosebleeds as well. Not great angle on the Jumbotron, but I can't really understand why they called that goalie interference. I could understand if they may have like blew the whistle or something, but they said the whistle never blew. Like, they blew the horn twice for that goal. I was hoping they would blow it a third time, but that didn't happen. So a little bit of insight here might help.
I think this was honestly really good officiating and done the right way, because they're consistent in everything that we've seen previously. So just to recap the play, the puck went underneath of remind me on his
Talbot.
On Talbot's leg. He was basically in a seated position, and it was Sorelli that went in digging for it, pulled it out. The whistle blows, puck goes into the net. All right, they initially say it's no goal. All right, so when it goes to review, it's determined that the puck was shot and in the air when the whistle blew. And so the way that the rule is that basically at the official's discretion. So technically he can blow his whistle before it makes a sound, right, if he had the intent on blowing a play dead. But in this one, he had lost sight of it and blew it while it was in the air, and acknowledged that the puck continued towards the net without additional influences after the whistle was blown and went into the net. Therefore, it's a good goal, kind of almost as if you would think in basketball when they, you know, shoot for a three-pointer right as, you know, right before the buzzer goes off, but the ball still goes in, kind of like that. So they got that right. So they ruled it no goal, then they overturned it on the review to make it a good goal. That's your second horn right there. And then there is a challenge by the Kings. The puck was definitely underneath Talbot's leg. And Sorelli basically spears him enough to jostle it loose and then gets the shot off. So I mean, I was saying in our chat that like this, there's no way this is going to be a goal because you can see him clearly push him off the puck in order to get possession of it, and then that's where the Kings use their challenge to overturn it. But I like the fact that they went step by step on this one, and I think they made the right call for what they were reviewing every time, and it's at least consistent with what they've done throughout the season.
I'm going to disagree with you, Joe. I don't think it was goaltender interference, but, you know, goaltender interference is basically just spinning, you know, a wheel, and who knows what the heck it's going to be. There was definitely I don't know what exactly if they called it when he was going for the puck or because he did make contact with him earlier before he went down and fell on top of the puck. That's what
it's
I thought.
When he fell on top of the puck. It was when he fell on top of the puck.
That's
because
what I thought
underneath
they were
his
calling.
Leg, and then he clearly manipulates the goalie in order to get it loose.
I don't know. I just didn't see it that way personally. Again, I'm looking on with a little bit of biased eyes, obviously. But I thought it should have been a goal, but clearly it wasn't. It ended up not mattering, luckily for the Lightning, because they, you know, get the third period comeback. It has been weird though. The Lightning, so many called back goals. It's been so frustrating for the Bulls. I mean, that's what, the fourth goal this year almost now, I think, that's been called back. It's been a lot.
It's pretty high. I feel like we've been on the wrong end of a lot of this kind of stuff.
I wonder if that's a something that can be searched. I don't know if Eureka, if you got the magic skills to find a stat of called back goals, but it has been high. I mean, it's got to be more than four, you know, with offsides. Then Stamkos had one to start. Was it the Jersey game?
Yeah, there was another one in this Jersey game that got called back.
Yep. So, I mean, there's been a number of offside goals. It's got to be more than four. I'm thinking it's probably more like 6 to 8.
I'll go 5.
Let's see if our man can pull it up. That's probably a difficult stat to find.
Yeah.
I can imagine talk about too, the resiliency that the Lightning showed in the third period, which I thought was really impressive. Because, listen, they were down bad. I mean, they get two quick goals scored. Everything, like you were saying, Matt, looked like it was going to go the way it had been for the past couple of weeks. But they fought back in this game. They kept with it. And Brandon Hagel especially was big. Joe?
That's it. I was going to say, I got one name for you. And he took a hard hit in the game. They drew a call from it. But then it just seemed like Hagel put it into another gear, and it was a game changer.
Every time I feel like Hagel takes a hit or something, like he gets beat up out there. He puts himself in those positions, and it's great because he's that kind of player, but he gets beat up a lot. But it seems like those games where he does get beat up, he comes out and performs like the shift later. And, you know, in this instance, he scored. And actually, even in the Ducks game, he went to the locker room for a quick sec, or maybe just down the tunnel, or I don't know how long he was gone, but the next shift or two shifts later, he was out there. He scored again. That guy embodies resiliency right there. I think that was the word that got us all started.
Well, it continued for the Lightning into the rest of the week as they went to take on the New Jersey Devils in their second home game. And this was what I would call the Luke Glendinning show tonight, as he got the Lightning started in this one. He scored two goals early in the first period after Lightning were originally down 1-0 early. He even scored one shorthanded. Just really impressive stuff from Luke Glendinning. Kind of a back and forth game. The Lightning got up and then the Devils started to come back. But then in overtime, second straight overtime game for the Lightning, it's Darren Radish scoring another huge goal for the Lightning and getting them that overtime win. So the D-Core guys stepping up in overtime, not something you usually expect. But typically, you know, the Lightning, we've been saying this, their D-Core has not been great for them early in the year, and they're known to have some players that can show off their offensive skills, and they did it in these last couple of games, especially in these two with Perbix and Radish getting these overtime winners. Matt, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on this game against New Jersey?
Another game I was in the arena for, another great game walking away from it. I don't know if it was as much domination. That's probably not the word I can use. Like it was against the Kings, where you're playing better, but you're still trailing in the game. No, this was very back and forth. And New Jersey are injured. We think we're dealing with injury problems right now. They've got like 8 or 9 starters out right now. Like they are injured. Half their team is on IR, and a lot of them are out for a long time. But they showed a lot of fight. They're still a good team, even with some of these guys that they're calling up. They've got prospects, you know, high-level prospects playing for them as well. But it was a very, very entertaining game, to say the least. And boy, when Darren Radish scored that overtime goal, I said, yeah, no, I'm going to have to eat my words here. But, man, he played a great game. Everybody, that, like you were saying, Jake, everybody on the defense is stepping up, and we'll see that, you know, carry on to the next game as well. But just an all-around good game. You know, it could have been clean in some areas. It was messy in some parts as well. That first goal the Lightning scored, like, right off the hop there, I was feeling like Joe in that moment. There's no way this thing is going to stand. I mean, that was as clear as day. You're pushing his pad into the net. And I was a little unsold about the one that ended up benefiting us. They scored. It was kind of the same kind of goal. They pushed Vazzy's pad into the net. That one could have gone either way, but I'm happy with the result that gave us. It kept us in it, kept us to get us to overtime. And yet, it was really a lot of Kucherov. He was pretty much ragging the puck in the offensive zone. It was Kucherov, Radish, Kucherov, Radish goal. I'm giving a lot of props to Darren Radish. He played great this week, and we all know how I feel about him. But that goal, a lot of that was just Kucherov playing keep away. But again, just extremely happy with the result we had. A very important game as well. Again, we're fighting New Jersey. You know, if it comes to it, we can't get a divisional playoff spot. We're going to be fighting them for a wild card spot. So a very, very crucial two points that the Lightning got.
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of a 4-point swing on somebody that is fighting for the wild card. And I think someone was saying that New Jersey has something like, 20 some million dollars in guys on IR right now that are just, you know, that their roster is hurting. But they still made a pretty good showing of it, albeit, two of those goals were right off of Vassie's butt. Scored from like literally hitting them in the backside and going in. At least it made it kind of an interesting game being there as a fan. And I went with a buddy who's from New Jersey, so seeing him cheer for for a goal that's deflected in like that is always humorous. But I like the fact that we had a lot of secondary scoring with this, with Glendening working. You know, Watson got an assist on that goal as well. That tip that he had, it was like on the far side of his body. There's no goaltender in the world is going to be able to stop that.
That puck was
gets lucky.
It was going like 3-4 feet wide. Like, it was going wide by a mile.
It was going 3 or 4 feet wide to the right, and he deflected it into the left side of the net.
I was telling you guys about Glendening. He's already doubled his goal total from last year. I think that was his sixth goal of the year, I want to say.
That one was his sixth. He scored his seventh
Dude, yep. You guys heard how high I was on this guy. And, man, just the limited amount of time he gets, he really makes, you know, he does no wrong. And it might not be an impact every shift, but it's definitely, you know, nothing bad each time he's out there. And, man, he, the shorty that he scored, your goalie should probably have that. I mean, what a mistake by Luke Hughes, just fumbling the puck in the, you know, golden area of the ice right there. But I think the goalie should have had that. I don't know if it was a wicked shot or what. I don't think I've seen a replay. But that's
just, you can't get set. You can't get set as a goalie when it gets turned over like that. You don't really have your angle. You're not anticipating it. And that's what happened. It wasn't even a hard shot. It was really, really well placed.
Yeah, because he didn't even really take any strides forward either. He got that puck and just ripped it too. So it was just kind of like that.
Beat the goalie with fast, a fast move there. His best season was in 2014-15 with 12 goals. He's got 7 now. So, I mean, he's, I would say ahead of, you know, we're 44 games in. So he's ahead of the pace of his best season in terms of goals. I mean, he's doing so well on the, face-offs at, you know, 57.3% on the season. That's great. He's doing everything that you want like a fourth liner to do. And it's just, obviously it's a plus that, you know, he's putting up goals. I do want to say that the point scoring on a delayed penalty was also nice, because we were talking about him before, wanted to see a little bit more production, and he got a few chances this game that he didn't actually score when he had the shot. It was just really good saves. And that was an awesome one, just basically from his office, Cooch feeding him like we've seen 100 times.
There were a couple of breakaways in this game. Like you were saying, Braden Point had one. He sent one wide. Nikita Kucherov had one, sent it wide. And a couple of New Jersey players, they had a couple of breakaways as well. I think Nico Hischier or somebody like that. That I think one breakaway goal go in? Because I remember Vazzy stopped two or three. Trickled through like in the like dying minutes of the game. But there were a couple breakaways that got through on both sides.
I want to mention this as well. So Glendening, he's been great. I've been really impressed with him. He kind of looked like Nikita Kucherov out there for a lot of the game. Kucherov had another 2-point night as well, which is really impressive. Let me ask you this. Which deflection was better, Alex Killorn's in the Stanley Cup Finals or Luke Glendening's? Because I don't know, Glendening's was pretty darn good, I thought.
The Killorn one, hands down. That's one of the best tips of all time.
It's impactful, too.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. The playoff factor probably definitely helps Alex Killorn a lot. And by the way, for those wondering, Joe, you mentioned the IR for the Devils. Eureka found it for us. They have 21,200,000 on IR and 787,000 on LTIR. And if you're curious about the Lightning, they have 16 million on LTIR. Granted, two of those players are Brent Seabrook and Logan Brown.
The other guys I'll never play. Yeah.
Right. And they have 2 million in Tanner Janot on regular IR.
Hold on. Quick aside, real quick. What is the story with Logan Brown? Because I thought he had a legitimate shot on maybe not making the lineup, but being that 13th, 14th forward this year. Because he's still young. He was a top 10 pick or maybe 10th overall like some years back. He's still got that pedigree. I was maybe expecting to see him in a couple of games, but he's been injured. Like, I don't know where it came from, like what his timetable might be. He's still a guy that I still think has, you know, a shot in the NHL that I'd like to see. He was just a name that we signed and then, you know, crickets.
Well, if he's LTIR, he's still injured. So, I mean, not going to be able to see too much from him unless he gets healed.
I just want to know, like, what it is, like, what happened.
I could be wrong here, but if I remember correctly, he was the one who we signed, and then we immediately signed Tyler Mott after, correct?
No, that was Josh Archibald.
Josh Archibald. Okay, thank you. I was thinking then I'm not sure. Honestly, I'll be completely honest with you. I kind of forgot about him
because
so long, and we got him at the beginning of the season. So, you know, that's a good question, Matt. I actually don't know, and we haven't heard anything from Cooper or any of the guys on what his situation is.
And I'm doubly curious too, because my friend matched with him on Hinge like way back when too. So enough of that.
I do want to mention quickly too, though, Gage, I might have butchered his name a little bit, Gage Gonclaves, he played in this game as well. The Lightning have had a ton of rookies that have gotten into these games. In fact, they've had 7, I believe, rookies take their first lap. The record for the Lightning, I believe, is 11, which was back in 2008, back when Steven Stamkos had his first NHL game as well. So a lot of the rookies playing in these games, and they continue, every single one of them, I think, have looked impressive.
Say, before we transition, that actually is a you know, good point. He was noticeable out there. I would say he was definitely
almost scored a couple times.
Yeah, had a few chances. There was one in the, I want to say it was the first period, where he was on the side of the net and he had a really good chance, but it just didn't convert for him. But still being in the right position, being able to get some shots off, you know, I've noticed him a number of times playing really, really hard in that game.
I also want to say that Gage Gonçalves, I think it is, Gonçalves, however you want to pronounce it. I think I'm just going to go with Gage. He's the first player to play in the NHL who owns a Portuguese passport, which is definitely a niche stat right there. But no, he definitely played with some heart and played with some energy. He was making the most of, you know, his time on the team. And not to mention when Eric Chernak went down on that big hit, he stepped right in with no hesitation. I don't know who the guy he fought. I won't steal your thunder, Joe. I'll actually let you take it away.
Oh, no, just the fact that he was willing to instantly go in there and get dicey with them, that's you know, shows the type of player that you want on your team, that's, you know, really in there for, you know, buying in for the team. It looks like it was on Bastion. That's right. Ooh,
he's a big boy too, as far as I know.
And then that was a hit that took. I'm sorry.
So we've talked about before that the Lightning, you know, when they won their two Stanley Cups back to back, there was young guys that came up like Perbix. He was one of the guys, you know, almost out of nowhere and really helped the Lightning elevate their game to the next level. They seem to have a lot of those guys. Granted, most of these guys have only played one, maybe two games, but a lot of them have been impressive, which I think is a good sign for the Lightning, not only this year, but also down in the future, that they've got some great talent down there, it seems like, in Syracuse.
So you're saying that they've done well the way they've drafted and, you know, the pickups they've had from other teams?
Yeah, no question. I mean, clearly these draft picks, they've been doing that for a while now. I mean, Nikita Kucherov, mm-hmm. you know, he was a second-round draft pick. Palat was a seventh-round draft pick. So we know that they've done good with their draft picks before, but even these last couple of guys that we've seen in game action, at least the initial look seems pretty decent.
Yeah, almost as if we're in good shape despite having given away a ton of picks.
I knew you were going with that, and I was just going to wait for you to say it. Listen, no, I will always be against the Tanner Janot trade. I didn't love to put up that many draft picks, but they do look like they have a really good set down there in Syracuse right now. So,
to be honest, I'm really surprised. I didn't know how many players that were in Syracuse that could step up. So I had no idea, and you know, Chernak's back injured again from that hit. So there's still going to be more opportunities for these guys to come up and prove their worth.
Chernak's not getting a Gasparilla jerseys. He's just getting a bubble wrap jersey. I'm not bubble wrap because that poor guy gets hurt all the time. Hopefully he'll be back relatively soon, but he is back injured. Now the big game, I won't say the big game, but you know, a game that meant a lot for the Lightning was against the Anaheim Ducks, because Alex Killorn returned home to Amalie Arena for the first time ever since leaving in free agency. The Lightning did a fantastic job with their tribute. I think it was one of their longest tributes ever. By the way, if you guys didn't catch this, I don't know if you noticed this, but in that tribute, they put a clip of him talking about that he's going to retire in Tampa Bay, which I thought was kind of funny that they threw that in there. A little, obviously, they're meaning retire and come back home. But great tribute from the Lightning for Alex Killorn. He skated around, giving the fans a wave. He got a standing ovation. And the Lightning had a fantastic game against the Ducks, winning by a final score of 5-1. The power play was the story of this game, as they went 3-for-3 in this game. They looked fantastic. Stamkos was getting back on the score sheet. He's been kind of up and down a little bit this year. So a big game for the Lightning, and they get their third straight win at home. Joe, how'd you feel watching Alex Killorn return to the home of the Amalie Arena?
You know, I thought that the tribute, I love Killorn. I didn't really like the tribute as much because it was just him scoring a bunch of goals, where there was so much more impactful stuff that he's done for the Lightning, and then they kind of got into more of the emotional side.
Yeah, they had the jet skis on there.
They did towards the end. I just his goal scoring isn't what I remember him for at all for the Bolts, and you know, that's what they kind of showcase, which is fine. You know, that's it was all right, but it obviously is emotional. They're saying that he was getting teared up, which you'd be hard not to when you play so long and there's such a history there. However, it didn't seem like that lasted very long, because after that video tribute, the teams really started going after each other. And despite the scoreboard being lopsided towards the Lightning, the physical play was just going back and forth. I have the stat right here. It's 27 registered hits for Anaheim, 17 for the Lightning, although there was one hit that the Lightning had that probably should count for 2, 3, or even 5 on that number.
This game got chippy real quick, especially after that tribute. You know, Anaheim was actually playing us, I'd argue, better than us those first 6-7 minutes of the game. Like, they were in our zone more than we were in their zone, but I guess those tributes do a lot of damage. I think each time we do like a tribute at Amalie Arena for a returning player, I want to say our record is great in those games. I've been to a couple of them. I saw McDonough's, Gord's, Palat's. We lost the Palat game, but the record is pretty good. But yeah, that really sparked, maybe not sparked something in the team. There was something that sparked something in the team a little bit later, but I thought it was a touching tribute, Joe. I don't mind that they put a bunch of goals in there, especially the world's most famous tip right there against Chicago. My favorite part of the tribute too was the championship speech at Raymond James, and he said, you know, the two biggest things I missed in Florida was something and my jet ski. And that one got me laughing. Yeah, like you are kind of right, Joe. Like, that's not what you remember Killorn for. You remember him for, you know, him being the influencer, the personality, you know.
I tried so hard to partner up with like a jet ski thing with him, and it
oh
just,
really
yeah, because, you know, being my other business, I had a lot of connections and through other people, he said he was interested, but then he never really continued his
man. That's a match made in heaven right there. We got to make that happen when he returns to Tampa as an assistant coach in a couple of years after he gets that bag. No, that's what I was saying to my buddy. I was like, wouldn't Killorn just make the best assistant coach in the world? Like, he doesn't have the meanness or the demeanor to be a head coach, or I couldn't even see him in a front office. But, you know, the assistant coaches, those are your buddies. Those are the guys you can kind of confide in. You don't have to, you know, I know Cooper's a bit different, but, you know, the assistant coaches are buddies. So I could totally see him, you know, being that Jeff Halpern kind of guy. But no, again, just getting back on track to the game. Just, yeah, what a game. You know, I know we're playing against bottom feeders, and a lot of these teams that we did play this week are going through their own struggles. Like, I know we were talking about LA. They're kind of in it right now. They've lost like their last 8 games or something. But again, just an all around great game. Once that tribute happened, and once that big hit in the second period, I want to say, happened, just everything, it was just pure domination, especially in the last like 5-10 minutes of the game. And we were just skating downhill. It completely got flipped on top of its head. Again, I know you're shooting fish in a barrel, you're beating up against, you know, beating up toddlers, you know, playing the Anaheim Ducks. It's a pretty easy team, but they came back. They you know, showed their grit, and the game got chippy. It really did. I don't think there were any, you know, actual fights in this game, but when a guy like Victor Hedman, who is all composure, he's all poised, he's usually the peacekeeper, he turned into a peacemaker. This game, like, he was getting into it with some Ducks player. He gave him a good slash.
Ross Johnson.
Oh, he's a big boy too. He likes to scrap.
Yeah, and Hedy got 2 for roughing, 2 for slashing, and a 10-minute misconduct.
Oof. I need an explanation on that. I mean, I totally understand the extra 2 minutes. I mean, you know, Johnston came in there and gave Hedy the extra shove after the whistle, and then Hedy gave him the slash, and then Johnston gave him something again, and then a big kind of scrum forms. And I think Hedy, he stole his stick and tossed it on the ice. I think that's what gave him the 10 minutes, but is that really worth 10 minutes? Not 10 minutes. Is that really worth 14 minutes right there? I don't think so.
They're trying to remove that type of fighting and out of the game, and they're trying to give guys penalty. It's the same thing, you know, the instigator penalty you see all the time. I hate it. I can't stand it, but that's what they've been doing, even though it doesn't do anything. It doesn't stop them. By the way, Hedman also in this game got injured for a second, and the Lightning got on a power play, and Hedman came right back out of the tunnel to make sure he got back on the ice for a power play, which I wanted to mention too. Well, we mentioned the hit a couple of times, but let's not just talk about the hit that was heard around Amalie Arena. Let's watch as well. Joe, I know you got some videos pulled up for us, and we're going to kind of do a quick breakdown. By the way, if you're on Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever you may be listening, be sure to like and subscribe right here on YouTube so you can check out our breakdowns that we do every once in a while as well. Joe, take it away. Take us through this giant hit from Emil Lillenberg.
Honestly, I think this one's completely self-explanatory. Just know that it's about as clean as you can be, because he goes straight through his chest on a big guy, and it wasn't a penalty for good reason. Surprisingly enough, it didn't result in a fight, which kind of shows the mentality of the Ducks, I guess. I don't know why you wouldn't want to, even if it's a clean hit, go and fight somebody when they light up your guy like
that. Because they had a great scoring chance right after. I think that's the only reason why.
So here's it. Oh, my God, and he cartwheels. I could watch this a million times, man. Look at how clean it is. Just comes straight through him. Big hit. And no, and you do feel for who was it that he hit?
Brett Lason.
Yeah, he hits his head on the ice, which you don't want to see. He gets up woozy and falls down. But it's a textbook hit as he comes in. He just had his head down and gets completely lit up. But nobody, forget the scoring chance. There's a million scoring chances through the course of a season. Nobody comes to defend him at all. Which I can't believe that would happen. I mean, think about even Chernak, being defended by Goncalves that for what was, you know, not even as hard of a hit. But this one was one that the entire NHL took note. And in this game, it started getting feisty.
You're going to remember number 78. I mean, this is a dude, like we've been kind of coy on saying his name this podcast so far, but I think, you know, not only us three and Michael as well. Michael's huge on the guy, but a lot of Bolts Nation is falling in love with this dude right now. And he's made his mark, you know, from the first game he played and, you know, up into his last game, that hit right there, everybody's falling in love with him. And I've been saying to some of my buddies, I don't think I've said it on the podcast, but there's been no good, you know, open ice hits for the Lightning this year. Just, you know, I don't see that same level of, you know, big hits and physicality. Well, man, my prayers were answered. That was one heck of a hit. And also, not to mention, he's Norwegian. You know, we've got tons of Finns and Swedes and even Danes in the league. The only other Norwegian player I can think of in NHL history is Mats Zuccarello. This guy, Emil Lilleberg, being a Norwegian, I think I've come up with the best nickname possible for him after that hit. Because he's Norwegian, his name is Lilleberg, I think we get to call him Lillehammer. It's the capital of Norway, and man, that hit, he hammered him all right. I think
I love it.
It's almost as good as the Einstein line. It might be better, actually. I haven't used that one in a bit, so.
Sounds like something that should be inspired for some merch, maybe?
Ooh.
That would be some exciting merch for sure. And if you want to check out the other awesome merch that we've got over there on shop.rblrsports.com, you can check out the awesome team-inspired merch in the Lightning, the Rays, the Bucks, and the Rowdies. And again, shop.rblrsports.com, and you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off of your order. Links, as always, are in the description right there. Joe looking like Nikita Kucherov out there with the assist, setting up the promo codes. It was a fantastic hit from Lillenberg, and I want to mention, too, John Cooper, after the game, said that hit kind of fired up the Lightning. And he mentioned too, you know, you never want to see a guy hurt, and hopefully everybody's okay over there. But it was a great hit. It got the team going. We've seen this a couple of times now where the Lightning have needed a little bit of a spark. Brandon Hagel's fight, I think it was against the Bruins that was that game. Or it might not have been the Bruins. Whatever, Hagel's fight, Lillenberg's hit. There's been a couple of times now where the Lightning have gotten physical, and this team has rallied around that, which is great to see. And if Lillenberg can keep doing stuff like that, good things to come for the Lightning. You know who else had a big hit that really got the fan base loving him as well? Another defenseman, Nick Perbix, when he took down Matthew Tkachuk in the game against the Florida Panthers. So a little bit of similarities there from the two young guns out there on defense. Let's take a look at our three stars of the week. And, you know, some guys that maybe you wouldn't expect on a normal week, but this one pretty easy. Number three, going with Brandon Hagel. Brandon Hagel gets the third star of the week. Just his hustle and effort that we see each and every week is so impressive. Hagel came through again for the Lightning, especially in that game against the New Jersey Devils. He had 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points, and he was a +5 this week, which is the highest on the Lightning this week. So Brandon Hagel gets the third star of the week. Joe, your thoughts on Hagel?
Is that what his stats were? Wow. I honestly didn't know his stats were that high, but the fact that he played so well to contribute on so many plays and just played with heart. You know, this team suffers from momentum sometimes, and every now and then you just need a guy to be a game changer. And when he's a gamer, he brings the entire team up with him, and he definitely did that in order to ensure a win. Was that the Vegas game where
Kings?
I saw LA and got dumb, but yeah, that Kings game for him to be there to tie it up and then have the primary assist in OT, he really brought a ton of fire in that game, and I mean he's looking good.
And this is another case of how many good things can we say about the guy? You know, he's turning into Nikita Kucherov light. You know, how many good things can we say? But he's, you know, Hagel. He had been I'm hesitant to say struggling over the last few weeks, but it just hadn't really been going in for him, hadn't been noticing him as much. But like what I was saying about Glenn Denning earlier is, you know, whenever he's out there, at least, you know, in this slump, he might not wow you every time he's out there, but he's a guy that can essentially do no wrong again. It just seems like something good, you know, always happens while Hagel's out on the ice, whether it be, you know, by himself or even if he's not involved in the play. He's, you know, a guy that can, you know, lift everybody up. I think it was Michael or you, somebody made a joke, you know, that's this team's, you know, next captain right there. And he's got heart. I think that's the third or fourth time I've used that word today, on this recording, but man, yeah, he's a guy that plays with heart, plays with passion, and, is willing to get banged up. And boy, he's got the clutch factor too. The goal against the Kings, that blew the roof off of that place, 'cause it was getting a little bleak there. You know, we were getting our chances, but once that thing just trickled in, I mean, what a dogged effort by Hagel. It wasn't the prettiest goal in the world, but a goal is a goal. And yeah,
he just worked really hard for that one too, going cross crease, beating a defender. And then I know it wasn't an incredible shot, but it was a lot of work to do it.
And you know who got an assist on that goal? Emil Lilleberg.
I do.
Emil Lilleberg, he's our number two star of the week, not just for his assist on that one. You look at the stats, you know, they're nothing crazy, but listen, for defensemen, it's very different. He had one assist and was a minus one, but that hit alone should put him on this list. And he did play some pretty good hockey that we kind of talked about over this week and played some decent defense. Matt, what'd you think about Lilleberg this week?
Well, another joke I said in the group chat we have is he is our 2024 Nick Perbix. He's a guy that, you know, a no name, you know, random call up, just filling in for injury. And it looks like he might not be here to stay, but boy, I'd love to see a lot more. You know, once the injuries kind of clear up, he'd be the last guy I'd pull out of the lineup once everybody's back. And, you know, maybe he might be fighting for that spot. He might stay. Because again, he looks like our 2024 Nick Perbix, just a dude that when he's out there looks composed, he looks poised, just a guy that looks like he belongs. And that's the biggest thing. And I know we always talk about the defenseman that you don't notice, you don't have anything good nor bad to say about, is somebody, you know, you like, you want that guy as your sixth defenseman, but this dude made his mark. Even ignoring the hit he had on Brett Laison, however you say it, I thought he played rather well. Again, he had his guys in a lot of scenarios. I know he ended up minus one or something, but minus one's not bad. I'll take it. I think Joe was saying just on, you know, every time he saw him out there, he had his guy. None of the goals against while he was out on the ice were his fault. And again, just a guy that looks like he belongs. And in some of the earlier games that he was in too, like he was jumping up on the play. He, you know, you'd see him behind the net a couple of times, like with or without the puck. Like he was carrying, he was dishing, he was doing a lot. And again, ignoring that one big hit, he was laying the body elsewhere too. Again, from what I've seen from this, from Emil Lilleberg so far, I have been a huge, huge fan. I think he's honestly performing better than Nick Perbix did, you know, in his call up last year. I like this guy. I like this guy a lot.
And yeah, he's playing really well, but he's playing in a way that, you know, you notice him as a defenseman because he is eliminating people from the play. And he was on the ice for two goals against my NHL.com, man. It just trashed out on me, so I can't pull up the stats for that game. He was on the ice for two goals against it for New Jersey, but he completely eliminated his responsibility for the first goal against. And that was the one where Deneau scored in the slot from a pass that was in the corner. Lilleberg had his guy completely tied up next to Vasi. He wasn't just playing zone. He took his guy out, and neither Paul nor Mott picked up the second guy. Both of them were in the slot. So it was kind of unfortunate that that he got a minus on that one. And then same thing, Cooch did a drop pass turnover in that same game, and Lilleberg erased his guy completely. We had four bolts back to the three players that were in for the Kings, and they allowed someone wide open in the slot again, but Lilleberg took his guy out completely. I wanted to see if I could pull up how many hits he had in each of the games. All I can see is that he had five hits in the Anaheim game. Like I said, here we go. Maybe this will, in the Jersey game, he also had three hits and the Kings one isn't loading. So he has definitely been a guy that takes takes guys out of the play. And that's something that Brian Engblom, I guess, talked to the head coach of Syracuse and was told that that's what he's kind of known for, is his physical play. Even though, you know, you look at this guy and he's got the baby face of all baby faces, and he's, his physical side of the play is really what makes him notable. And it was definitely something that we noticed, not, you know, beyond just his big hit, which, oh my God, that was a big hit. That might be the one of the biggest clean hits I've seen in years.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Lillenberg. And if he continues to play that well, who knows where he's going to be at in the next couple of years. It's been a very impressive
start. On the Norris Trophy.
I would love to see it. All right, let's go to our number one star of the week. And continuing on the decor, because they've been so impressive this week overall, it's Nick Perbix, who gets our first star of the week. And I love the picture down there that you took for us. You know, Nick Perbix with Publix, where scoring is a pleasure. Fantastic stuff for him. Obviously, had the big game-winning goal for the Lightning in that game against the Kings. But again, his defense looked very, very, very well. And Joe, I'm having the same issues that are the NHL, you know, of course, just can't get anything right. Stats pages, I'm losing it here, so I don't have his stats pulled up. But
a great take over, because I do have that up. And his game against the Kings, he actually had one goal, one assist. He assisted on the game tying goal by Brandon Hagel, and Hagel returned the favor in order to give the Bolts a win in overtime. New Jersey Devils, he had two assists as well, was a plus one. And then against Anaheim, he had an assist and was a plus two.
Dang. I knew his stats were pretty good. I know he, you know, got a couple of points like that, but oh, I think you guys sent it in the chat. He tied Nikita Kucherov, who did not make our list, for the most points in this three-game span. Another guy that I've been rather down on recently, and it kills me to say it, but he's a guy that has needed to pick it up. And, man, these last three games, and, you know, scoring, it's great. You know, it heals a lot of issues, but, you know, if you're still playing poor defensively, I'm still going to call you out on it. Like Victor Hedman, he's a guy, you know, I love Victor Hedman, but he's a guy he's been putting up the points, but his defensive game is kind of leaving him. As long as he keeps putting up points, I'm good. I just traded for him in fantasy. Here I go again. But Nick Perbix, he's a guy that has also cleaned up his defensive game.
You always find a way, man.
I'm super excited about that trade. I fleeced. I got David Pastrnak and Victor Hedman for Carter Verhaeghe, Rasmus Dahlin. Come on. I hope she doesn't hear this. Aside from all that, I'll always find a way to bring up my fantasy team. Nick Perbix, he's a guy that I've been begging for him to just step it up, be the guy we saw last year. He was awesome last year. He was just always where he needed to be. And this year, he just kept finding himself either making a silly play or just being on the wrong side of the ice, or just, you know, out on the ice at the wrong time or something like that. A lot of it was just unlucky. And this week he was rather lucky. And it's not all luck. You got to be good to be lucky. You got to be lucky to be good. And yeah, he performed well in every aspect. There was one play that I kind of had an issue with. I can't remember it, so it's not a big deal. Again, winning cures all problems too. So obviously I'm not going to make a huge deal about it. But yes, absolutely. 5 points, an overtime winner, assisting on the game tying goal. I mean, dude, that's as good as you can ask for from, you know, a struggling defenseman. So hopefully this gives him a little, you know, extra pep in his step for the rest of the season. Be the guy who he was last year.
So I think that this season he hasn't played offensively as as authoritatively as we saw last season. Defensively, the whole team has suffered really badly, you know, with team defense. And Perbix has made a number of kind of bobbles, especially earlier in the season in the corner where he's trying to make a pass, just kind of bobbles the puck and turns it over. I mean, overall, though, it's he just isn't the player that we saw from last year, and that might be a system thing as well. But with this past week, he does lead the team in plus-minus with a +8, something that's, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum. You guys want to guess who has the worst plus-minus?
Steven Stamkos.
And you know what that number is?
Not good.
any guess, Jake?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
34.
Oh, 34.
God. That would be I hope not. It's really bad at 20 if it was 34. wow, now I'm starting to wonder like what the, you know, in the league. But he's Perbix is leading the team in plus minus. When he starts to have his offensive upside contribute as well, his ability to move the puck, that's when we really notice him, because defensively he's and he's okay. He's okay, but it's really his offensive ability that's something that was really special, how calm he could be with the puck. And he seemed like he was losing that when he scored. What was that? What game was that against the Kings? Was that his first? That was his first time.
It was.
There was another game that he made a few plays. I remember that it's, you could see him starting to come around and play with more confidence. We keep using that.
His best game was the Devils game, I want to say. That's where he was. It just kind of seemed to be everywhere.
Yeah, he had two assists in that one. He's starting to play with more confidence. I think the team in general is starting to play with more confidence, and it's showing. And the guys that we have as our three stars, this week definitely contributed for the games that they played in, and you can see a transformation for the entire team.
Do you guys want to know who does lead the league with the worst plus minus?
I pulled it up too.
it's Andrew Peak, but I like the next closest guy, Seth Jones, with a minus 38. That is damning.
I would just say minus 30. Do I not have? See, I'm no good on this NHL.com. How do you have?
I do. If you're trying to find bad stats on NHL.com, they on if you're on the web browser trying to find like the worst leaders of a stat, they're not going to give it to you. So I just went on StatMuse and looked up for the.
Okay.
Well, the bottom line is Nick Brandon Hagel, Lilleberg, and Perbix are our three stars of the week. So congratulations to those guys. Let us know in the comments below what you guys think about our three stars. Would you do anybody differently, or would you reorder it? We'd love to hear from you guys as well. All right, let's look ahead. What's that?
Do we need a retraction correction?
From me?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, but I was looking at 22, 23.
Okay. That's for the whole – all right, so hold on. That's a good point, though. That's for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that. Right now, Steven Stamkos is number 12 worst plus minus in the entire league. And the worst is Zadina for the Sharks, followed by Hurdle for the Sharks, and Ferrero for the Sharks, and Burrows for the and their worst guy in the league is negative 28, and Stamkos is a negative 20.
Stamkos has scored a lot of goals on the power play, and his defense hasn't been great. So that doesn't help either at all. I believe there is an article coming out on the Bolt Report here in a couple of days, though, on Steven Stamkos' 5v5 play, which has taken a dive recently.
No free ads.
Hopefully he can get that back on track. All right, let's take a look at Lightning's schedule upcoming, because it's interesting. Lightning have been on a four-day break since their last game. They'll have two more days off when this, as of this recording, and then probably one more day when you're watching this when it comes out tomorrow. But their next couple of games going to be again at home against the Minnesota Wild on the 18th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then they will have start of a three-game road trip going to Buffalo on the 20th at 12:30. So that's a noon game. And then on a back-to-back, they're playing the Detroit Red Wings on the 21st, and that one at 5 p.m. Eastern. So a couple of weird times. Leave it up to the NHL to schedule some really weird games. But we will also know this week kind of where the Lightning – we have a better idea of where the Lightning sit in the standings, because teams are going to start catching up to the Lightning when it comes to games played. Because if we've talked about a couple of times, everybody's been like three or four games behind the Lightning. So we're finally starting to see where they're going to be at in the standings. But some big games coming up for the Bolts. Joe, what are your thoughts for the Lightning on their schedule this week?
I got a dog howling outside. It must be because the Wild are coming to town. Are there going to be two video tributes come Thursday?
I hope. Yeah, Maroon and Bogo are both on the Wild.
They're going to double up? Are they going to make a joint just like with the two of them together? You know, how is that one going to work out?
That is a good question, actually.
So, I mean, that one, you know, I hope that the Lightning are able to handle business against a, you know, kind of a lower team here. They really should. Yeah, you know, love Love some Bogo, love some Pat Maroon, but you know, can't wait to see him lose. And and you know, the Sabres and the Red Wings, man, we got to get some points, guys. It's that's like the biggest thing with all of these games, especially when they're in conference or in division. The teams are starting to catch up when it comes to how many games played we have. Right now, if you look at the wild card race, the Lightning are, let's see, do I have the, because I always do this wrong. Hold on. I have the date correct this time. I had it set up for the 15th. And of course, the site lets me down. I think that they're in second, the second wild card spot. If you guys have
they
that
are.
Pulled up,
they're in the second wild card spot right now.
And I think that the teams that are chasing them now are only about two games behind, and they should pretty much catch up this week. So this is the week where you really see where the Lightning are going to be standing in terms of, you know, like a fair assessment with games played. But they gotta get these. They gotta get these teams, you know, behind them. Get some wins and just continue, as so famously said, munching points.
So I kind of spaced out when you were talking about the schedule. So I tried to look it up on the NHL app, and as you can imagine, it's not going great. So what? It's Minnesota, Buffalo, Detroit.
Correct.
Yeah.
And which one was the noon game?
That one is. Here, I got it pulled up right here. So they're playing. The Wild at 7, Buffalo's at 12:30, and then the Red Wings are at 5.
Interesting.
And I should note quickly, Eric Erlandson, Lightning Insider, he mentioned on Twitter that I think there could be a change in that game for the Red Wings. They could move that game up. I am now realizing why those games are so early. The NHL, for once, is actually trying to avoid the NFL games that are going on. So there could be a change in that as well, because they're, you know, at least trying to not play during the NFL game. So
can
I
they
think
move
that
up the Buffalo game? It's right over. It's can't they move up the Buffalo game? It's right during the kids' Gasparilla parade, and that means I'm gonna be holding my nephew in one hand as he's, you know, throwing beads and watching my cell phone in my other.
You have to take
hopefully
it up.
He doesn't get
the,
him mixed up.
Throw your phone.
NHL, or the NFL, I should say.
Oh, that's funny. I think I'm going to the Wild. I think I'm going to the Wild and the Buffalo game. I don't even remember which tickets I have anymore. But yeah, these are all super, super important games. Detroit's really starting to maybe not catch fire, but they just beat Toronto today or yesterday. And Buffalo, they're starting to kind of pick things up as well. They just got a shutout win today. So these are crucial points that we need to get. All these games at home or on,
no,
away?
No, so just the game against the Wild is at home. And
okay,
then the
road so
trip starts.
That's the one I'm going to. But yeah, these are all super important.
You're not flying up to Buffalo?
No. Oh, God, no. Not
that
this week.
When he said he spaced out when I was talking about the schedule, he totally missed all that.
Listen, I got gifted a bunch of tickets from my boss, and so I don't ever remember what the dates are. I just remember what the teams are. So I hear Buffalo coming up next week. I'm like, oh, God, no. Am I going to this game? I already almost missed one of the other games. I really got
to
be on
fair,
top of this.
I peek ahead. You know, I peek like month to month, but I really, especially because of this podcast, I live the Lightning schedule one week at a time.
I never know who we're playing until Jake says it, and pretty much every single time without fail, even not today, every single time I space out during that segment, but usually the NHL app wants to act right.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's been giving us some trouble for the past few hours, as you know, we have to do a little bit of show prep in order to you know, to get on here and have some stats, some facts, and be able to pull things up. But thank God mine did load. The Detroit Red Wings have one less game played than we do, and they have 49 points. We have 49 points. Both of us are right there for the two wild card spots. For that matter, the Maple Leafs, they have 41 games played. Again, we have 44. They only have 1 point more than us. So parity is starting to take place, and it's really important to keep getting these wins. I know, I see your face. It's because no one's winning consistently. The Maple Leafs just went 4-4-2. When you look at some of these other teams, the Islanders were in it. I mean, they're at 48 points, 4-5-1. Teams are losing. We need to keep winning right now.
And the Islanders, they've got 10 overtime losses or something like that. So a lot of those are loser points. I'm not exactly concerned about them. I didn't realize we were that close to the Leafs. I understand there could be a 6-point spread in there, but I didn't realize we were that close standing-wise. This Atlantic is turning into what we all thought it would be the last 3 years, with the good teams getting worse and the bad teams getting better. It's finally starting to get, you know, to equilibrium. I feel like at the end of the year, I mean, every single team is going to be separated by 1 or 2 points or something like that.
Let's talk about that just for a moment, because the teams that we thought that would be at the top, I mean, I honestly thought that the Bruins would still be at the top. I thought the Leafs would still be at the top. I called that at the beginning of the season. The Panthers are still up there. And then you've got the Red Wings and us. And then the Buffalo Sabres have 7 points. They have the same. They actually have caught us now. Same number of games played, and are 7 points below us. So it's hopefully the separation is starting to happen at that line, where, you know, Buffalo is going to be one that has to really catch up if they do anything. But, you know, the Wings, the Leafs, the Panthers, the Bruins, the Lightning. It's kind of, I mean, except for the Wings, it's been similar teams for the past several years that are. I mean, this is a tough division.
It's a very tight division, and when you win 3 games in a row and you get those 6 points, you're going to start to get in a better spot in the standing. So big week for the Lightning. They got a couple divisional games. We're going to start to see where they are exactly in the standing, so they can continue this winning streak and really pump up in the second half. It'd be huge for the Bolts. So guys, I think that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe right here on YouTube or wherever you may be listening. We really appreciate you guys tuning in with us every single week. We'll talk to you in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.